Chilla Varnai, and before her, Mikhail Spivakov from the Abraham Institute. Visual artist Andy Lomas used Unreal, a virtual reality gaming engine usually used to make lifelike shoot-'em-ups and other games, to turn all this scientific data into three-dimensional virtual reality. But how did he actually start doing it?
That's a good question, and I was wondering the same myself when I started this project. So we got all these files, just genuine files from simulations that Chilla's been running. And I haven't used Unreal that much, but I just thought, okay, this game engine technology, it should be able to read in this data. You should be able to write code that can directly read the simulation files. And what could we then do with it? And if we put it in that environment, we can hopefully look at things in different ways, try things out, and basically we're almost like an environment to experiment with things. So I was learning, to be honest, doing it. I thought it should work. I wanted to have something that was interactive. I guess most of the work I've done in the past has been in film and visual effects, where you really know what you're doing. You're almost like you've got a storyboard, you know exactly what the target is, and you're often doing things that take a very, very long time, where I wanted to have something that allowed us to try all sorts of things out really quickly, which is why we wanted to try to use this game technology. So it was a bit of experiment, and we wrote a lot of code which just reads these files, reads them into memory, and builds the geometry based out of the data.
So this isn't like you've got a string of DNA and you're animating it to do what you want. You're actually taking real data from the experiments and just throwing it into this computer engine and seeing what it throws back at you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's real data from Chilla's research work on trying to reconstruct the shape of the nucleus of the DNA and the chromosomes. So it's actually just real files from her written out from these simulations she's running, which is three-dimensional data. It's like positions of the various locations on the chromosomes and positions over time in space. So it is already three-dimensional. But then I was having to turn that into almost like visible geometry and also animating geometry. I guess when we came to the Institute and had a look at their work, what they were generally showing us was the final shapes, which of course is what the research is really trying to reconstruct. And what we were trying to explore in this work was like how were they getting to those shapes? How are they reconstructing this geometry? And actually, I don't think before they'd actually looked at almost the data during the simulation. They were always looking at things at the end of the simulation.
So it's sort of, how did we get here?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's sort of the process. And I think it was almost like musical, saying that because they're doing these simulations that go through different phases. So just visually, it's interesting. I mean, it's hopefully just tells the story of almost like a discovery. You're going from something which is just this perfect mathematical, but just almost this arbitrary sort of structure to start with, because we really don't know what the real shapes of the nucleus of the chromosomes are. And then through all these forces, these constraints, things pulling things towards each other, which need to be close to each other by the end. And just simulating almost literally, you heat it up to a ridiculous temperature, so everything moves around with all this thermal noise, and then gradually cools down. And as it cools down, it sort of almost solidifies, hopefully into the right shape. And it's almost like there's a beauty to that. It's almost like this, almost like you'd see it as almost like a work in different movements.
It is an incredible thing to see, because when you look at the video, or indeed in the virtual reality simulation, you see this big column of sort of almost like strings stacked up in a spiral, and then it starts to go crazy. It's dancing all over the place, and then slows down and solidifies into a sort of a fluffy blob, yeah. I guess would be the best way of putting it. How did you decide to turn that into a virtual reality environment that people could actually step inside and explore?
To be honest, almost just because we could. I mean, our big thing with this was, let's try this out in Unreal so we can experiment with it quickly, so that we can actually try things out, so we can look at what's in the data in a three-dimensional space interactively. And Unreal just has the opportunity to do things in virtual reality, because it's the two main game engine pieces of software used to create top-end games, including virtual reality games. So it just has a VR preview mode, and I have a virtual reality headset, which I've been playing with and trying things out with, and we just tried it out, just like, okay, well, this should work. We should just be able to hit VR preview and see. And it just, how much you spatially understand the structure by it being in VR actually really surprised me, even though I've done quite a number of things in VR before. And then we sort of then reworked it and turned this into a more interactive thing, particularly thinking like, how would you want to maybe visualize things, understand things, look at chromosome colors, switch chromosome colors off, look at activation zones. I was like, what would I want to explore in the set? But yeah, the first thing was we could hit that button, VR preview, and have a look at it. And we looked at it and we went, okay, that's cool. That's great. Yeah.
As an ex-scientist whose field was this kind of thing, I was really fascinated by the going from the straight line of DNA to this sort of writhing library of genes and how they're all interacting and thinking about it in a three-dimensional way. When I was a scientist, there weren't these kind of tools. And what you've done here is an art project, but could we develop these kind of tools for scientists? I think it'd be incredible to sit inside my data and, you know, virtually pick it apart, see it in space around me.
I think absolutely, yeah. I mean, we have started talking with people at the Abraham Institute exactly about that. First, wouldn't this be great to take much further as an art science project for science fairs and things like that? And also, for the genuine research, yeah, if you're actually generating these structures, particularly if you're interested in questions like, what is the, you know, where are the locations of activation? Is the locations really, you know, on the interfaces between the different chromosomes and things like that? Actually, spatially understanding the structure when it's a really complex, you say it was this fluffy, really complex shape. It's a very, very difficult structure to understand by just looking at like a picture on a computer screen. And when you see it in VR, that it feels like it is there in the room with you, gives you just intuitively so much deeper understanding of that structure. I think particularly it's those really complex forms like these folded chromosomes where that's really important.
And of course, the sci-fi nerd in me loves the idea of, you see the films, the scientists kind of go and the data appears like hovering over this table. Are we going to get there? Are we going to get to be able to like probe our scientific data in three dimensions? I'd love that.
I guess so. I guess one thing is, because we are genuinely using the real science data, it does take about 2 minutes to start up at the beginning as it loads all that data files. So big data takes quite a long time. Game technology and things like the graphics cards and computers, things like that, now it's an incredible amount of power to visualize really, really complex, difficult spatial data sets. So it's almost like you're riding on top of the people playing first-person shooters to hopefully do real science.
Andy Lomas. And the piece you heard earlier was called Chromos by Max Cooper. That's the title track of his new EP, inspired by the project, and it's available now on iTunes. There are also a couple of amazing videos on YouTube combining Max's music and Andy's visuals. So head to the podcast page at nakedscientist.com/genetics to find links to those, or just search online for Max Cooper Chromos. That's Chromos.